Good morning. It is time to get up with the truth about Tom. It comes from his dad, and it's delightful. Wait till you hear what he said about Brady's return to Foxborough. Then, the truth about Aaron. We'll explain exactly how this got sideways in Green Bay, and the one way it can still be salvaged. Plus, what the NFL's biggest stars may soon have in common with the NBA. Spoiler alert, you're not gonna like it. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now. Happy Friday. I am Greeny in New York. We are ready to roll and lots to get to. And look who is here. They've gotten up early with us today. Mike T is ready to go. Dan G is ready to go. And Bart Scott has two words for you. Can't wait. Let's do it. We all can't wait for week four when Tom Brady makes his return to Foxborough in what might be the most anticipated regular season game in NFL history. You know Brady's journey began in 2000 in the draft, sixth round pick out of Michigan, seventh quarterback off the board that year. It worked out well. He spent 20 seasons in New England, won six Super Bowls, four Super Bowl MVPs, three regular season MVPs. Last offseason, Brady took his talents to Tampa and in his very first year led the team to its second Super Bowl title, doing it on their own home field. And so now in 2021, Brady returns to Foxborough in week four to take on his former team at Gillette Stadium. His dad, Tom Sr., has a prediction for that game.
I saw the schedule come out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season, and that we're coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the fourth game. So we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily.
Rather handily. There's the man, Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots for us. And appropriately enough, it says welcome back over his shoulder. I'm sure that is meant for the fans. But in this case, Mike, we'll use it to talk about Tom Brady. What has been the reaction there to this week four matchup?
Greeny, how great is this just to be here getting up at Gillette Stadium and to be able to turn around and say this is where it will unfold in week four. Tom Brady used to run through that tunnel behind me and fire up the fans here at Gillette Stadium. He'll be back in week four. And I know you like the hard copy of the newspaper, Greeny, so I grabbed one on my way down here to highlight this headline in the Boston Globe. Hype is hiked for Brady versus Patriots. This is from the longtime Globe columnist Dan Shaughnessy, has chronicled Boston sports for five decades. He writes simply, we've never seen anything like this. Compared it to Roger Clemens, the great Red Sox pitcher, coming back in the 90s, pitching at Fenway for the first time. Compared it to Bill Parcells, who had led the Patriots to the Super Bowl in 96, coming back as Jets head coach in 97. He said those pale in comparison to what unfold in week four.
That's right. Look, there's never been anyone who's accomplished what Brady accomplished in that building, and so there's never been any return like this. What sense, if any, do we have of the way the Patriots' coaching staff, namely Bill Belichick, will approach this, and the players?
Well, let's start with the players. I asked All-Pro returner Gunnar Olszewski yesterday. I sort of tossed it out to him, Greeny. I said, what stood out to you about the release of the schedule? And he said, you know, I didn't really look at it. You know, I'm in phase one of the off-season program. And then he sort of stopped and he asked the question back to me. He said, what stood out to you? Could it have been week four? And I thought that was perfect, Greeny, because he's not going to feed the hype, but certainly the players are aware of that game. And Bill Belichick, obviously, is going to try to extinguish that hype as much as possible.
All right, that is Mike Reese, and it is very Palantonian of you to show up with the newspaper today. Very well done. Live at Gillette. Thank you so much, Mike. Let me bring the crew in here on that thought as well. Bart Scott, out of the mouths of dads, right? What do you think of what Brady Sr. said?
I mean, listen, you know, I love family members. They always create smoke and bulletin board material. If I'm a player, I want to create my own bulletin board material. But at this point, Tom Brady doesn't care, man. He's old. He's set in his ways, and he understands pops is going to be pops. You know, but, you know, going back to your old team is always a special day. It's a day you circle in your mind. It's something that you pay attention to in the offseason because they're probably going to have a nice montage of just beautiful Brady moments on the sideline with him. And, you know, they're going to have a video tribute. But at the same time, they want to make sure that they can beat him up. Bill's trying to, you know, get everything straight. Tom Brady's going to go out there and try to put a great performance like he always does. And he's going to try and prove and create some separation between the debate that it was more about Tom Brady than it was about Bill Belichick. And, you know, all those players there that never got opportunity to hit him in live drills that, you know, kind of know his tendencies, knows, like, his mannerisms and what he likes to do, they're going to try and use his weaknesses against him. And Brady's going to have to understand that he knows that he has weaknesses, but he's going to try and make sure that he exploits their weaknesses as well, because he understands their tendencies. He understands their defensive philosophies and schemes against different personnel. So it's going to be the ultimate chess match between the two of the best chess players that we've ever had in this game.
Oh, by the way, we saw a little bit of Gronk in that highlight there as well. It's his return to New England as well. So Mike Tannenbaum, you worked with Bill Belichick forever. You've saunaed with the man, so you know him well. Give us the speech. What is Belichick going to say to his team when it comes to week four and they're getting set for this much-hyped, much-anticipated return?
Yeah, the first meeting, he's going to walk in and goes, look, it doesn't matter who the other team's quarterback is. We got our work cut out for us. This is a really good Buccaneer team. Hey, Cam, that's a great front seven. Shaq Barrett, Pierre Paul. It doesn't matter who the quarterback was last week, this week, the week after. We're playing a really good Buccaneer team. They're great on special teams. They got great receivers, great running backs. Their left tackle's good. He'll talk about everyone but Tom Brady. And what he does so well is he keeps everyone focused on their job. I know it's a cliche, but it's true. And as Mike Reese said, Greeny, he will do everything he can to tamp it down and make it about the Patriots against the Buccaneers and not about Tom Brady.
But down deep inside, you know the man. Like, we understand this is going to be a big deal for Brady. It's going to be a big deal for the fans. It has to be a big deal for Bill, right, Mike? I mean, it can't be just – he might say it's just another game. If he's a human being, it cannot be just another game, Mike.
Yeah, but he is as laser-focused as anybody. Of course, he'll want to win, and he's as competitive as anybody, and he'll have special coverages that I'm sure will exploit some vulnerabilities that he'll see in Brady's game. But at the end of the day, like, one of his many superpowers, Greeny, is he will be as focused as possible, and as the game, as soon as it's over, he'll be on to week five. He'll be on to Cincinnati, as he always been.
Now, fair enough. So Dan Graziano is one whose job it is and has been to chronicle these things and to write the story. Here's a story that writes itself. What to you are the headlines as you start considering this return?
Yeah, Bill Belichick may want to tamp down the hype, but we will not. We will do the exact opposite. I'm certain of it, and it'll be great. I mean, look, Reese referenced the Shaughnessy column. Like, that's perfect, right? Like, this is going – the atmosphere is going to be incredible. And you could have a situation where the home fans are cheering when the visiting team scores. I mean, they love Tom Brady in New England, and for good reason. So a lot's going to depend on where the Patriots are at that point in the season. We know the Buccaneers are good. I mean, they just won the Super Bowl. We expect the Buccaneers to start the season well and be a good team. We don't know what the Patriots are. Week four has always been a pretty big milestone for Bill Belichick. He talks about the first month being an extension of the preseason. Patriots might have some sense, good or bad, where their season is headed at that point, and their fans will as well. But this game, I mean, you're talking about tickets going for $1,300 a pop on Ticketmaster right now. Those aren't a bunch of people that are flying up from Tampa. I mean, the New England Patriots fans are going to be fired up for this game, and they're going to be fired up because of the visiting team.
Absolutely. And you made the point in the meeting today. I'll make it here. If Brady throws a touchdown to Gronk in that stadium, you might hear cheers like they were the home team. That certainly feels like a possibility. So, Bart, let me come back to you. Just give me a sense of the emotion, the raw emotion. Yeah. Now, you're going back to this place, and we understand the history there. But for you, you came to the Jets. You go back to play at Baltimore. Give us a sense of the emotion.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you want to be able to beat your friends and your former teammates and your former coaches more than you would want to beat a regular opponent, because you have common friends in common, right? So you're going to see people. You're going to get the phone calls. You're going to get the texts. I mean, I remember our first game. I think I tried to hit Ray Rice in the head with the football in warm-up. We got in a pregame fight, the Jets and Ravens, just because the personalities were so close. You know, Rex, you had so many people that had came from Baltimore. And, you know, Brady's going to want to try and prove a point, because, listen, he's looking at it on the sideline at a team that he asked for. That's what he asked for. This whole entire offseason was about Bill Belichick responding to what Tom Brady did down in Tampa. They're not even in the same division. They're not in the same conference. But Bill Belichick went out and spent money because he heard the rumblings that, hey, maybe it's more about Brady. So this is his reaction. So he can say anything that he wants to say with his words, but his action proves that he's really starting to hear the white noise, that he's starting to be a little bit agitated about hearing about how great Tom Brady is post-New England.
That's exactly right. Look, Bill is the guy famous for never saying anything. Brady is the guy famous for always saying the right thing. You got to go to the dad to find out what they're really thinking. It is only the dad who's telling the truth in this situation. Guys, sit tight. Much more football as we go on this Friday. But now let's run the floor, headed to the final weekend of the NBA season. And last night, Giannis was dominant in the Bucks game against Indiana. Had 40 points. Milwaukee, a 9-point win. Giannis, the second Bucks player with 40 points, 15 rebounds, and 75% shooting in a game. The only other one to ever do it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Meanwhile, nice to see you, Udonis Haslam, the oldest active player in the NBA. He appeared in a game for an 18th straight season. He played 3 minutes and then got thrown out. Got ejected for this scuffle in the second quarter with Dwight Howard. So that was that. Heat won the game, by the way, 106-94. Also, with 2.4 seconds left, Devin Booker fouled trying to shoot a game winner against the Blazers. He would make both foul shots, and so the Suns win it 118-117. With that, Phoenix moves within a game of Utah for the one seed in the West with two games to play. Where do we stand? How about the Lakers? They have two games remaining. They play on the road Saturday and Sunday against the Pacers and Pelicans. They can play their way into the five seed by winning both if Portland and Dallas lose out. Our analytics give the Lakers a 21% chance of avoiding the play-in. Meanwhile, we have a good game for you tonight on ESPN. It's loaded with play-in tournament implications. Zion and the Pelicans squaring off against Steph and the Warriors. That's tonight at the Chase Center. Coverage begins 8:30 Eastern with NBA Countdown. Coming up, is it possible the rift between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, the thing that is driving away the NFL MVP, is simply about communication? We will get to the bottom of the situation. Plus, they're calling this the biggest NFL season ever. But does the league have one thing it needs to be seriously worried about? That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on this Football Friday edition of Get Up, and Aaron Rodgers' future in Green Bay continues to be the topic of conversation across the league. Yesterday, former Packer running back Amon Green was on KJZ on ESPN Radio, sharing an interesting perspective on the Packers' general manager, Brian Gutekunst. Here's what he said.
I said, hey, bro, you got to be honest. Me and him, we crossed paths when I was a few years ago. I was trying to get into the NFL in terms of scouting. I had a conversation with him myself personally, and I remember doing an interview with him. They said, oh, well, you have a little bit too much experience. And I'm like, huh? I was like, well, wouldn't you want somebody like that on the staff? It's just be honest. That was not an honest answer. So he needs to be real. He needs to learn from this situation by being honest with his players.
So communication maybe is an issue here, and all of this, of course, is interesting because of the way it may or may not affect and inform the situation with Aaron Rodgers. Dan Graziano, you've been close to this. What is your sense?
Well, I think there is a sense that there might be a communication issue, personality conflict, if you will, between Aaron Rodgers and the GM, Brian Gutekunst. And Gutekunst said after the draft, this most recent draft, that he probably should have communicated better with Aaron Rodgers last year when they drafted Jordan Love in the first round. But yeah, I don't think that's the biggest deal here. Look, Brian Gutekunst is not an outsider who came in to run the Packers a couple of years ago. He rose through the ranks there and was a Ted Thompson assistant who took over when Thompson stepped down. He's entering his 23rd season with the Packers. Like, the Packers operate a certain way, and Gutekunst is kind of continuing that. And it may be that Aaron Rodgers is just sort of annoyed that he's not the guy for whom the Packers will make an exception. So, yeah, communication is part of the issue, sure. But look, I just think at this point it's a conflict of personality between Rodgers and the GM, and I'm curious to see if that can be overcome. Packers can throw money at him. the Packers can convince him that they offer the best chance for him to win the Super Bowl, which is probably true, versus other potential destinations. But it's a question of whether Aaron decides he wants to go back to work for this guy. That could be a tricky thing to overcome.
That's so interesting to me. Let's focus in on that part. This is about the Packers' way, the way they do business, and the question of whether or not you make an exception to that for someone who is exceptional, like Aaron Rodgers. And I've got an executive and I've got a player, so that's the perfect people to ask. Mike T., I'll ask you. I mean, there is the Patriot way, the Packer way, and then there are these special individuals. Should an organization change the way it does business, make exceptions, if you will, for someone exceptional like Aaron Rodgers?
Absolutely. Production equals tolerance. And Aaron Rodgers has earned the right to be treated differently. He's an all-time great. And Brian Gutekunst is a good GM whose finest moment certainly wasn't last year, the way he handled things with Aaron Rodgers. With that said, he has to go fix things and make sure that Aaron Rodgers wants to be there, finish his career there, talk about his legacy. But absolutely, he has earned the right to be treated differently because he's just better than everybody else. That's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, and again, having been there now 16 years, it's fascinating to me. Bart, from a player's perspective, I'm dying to hear what you think.
Yeah. I mean, you have to understand, Brian Billick used to say this all the time. I'll treat you guys fairly, not the same. Understand there's different rules for different people because there's different value and importance within the organization. It's all about how much skin you got in the game and how much you've done and how much you've accomplished in that uniform. And Aaron Rodgers has accomplished a lot in that uniform, and he deserved the respect. And I think it's about respect. And Mike T understands this, right? Because Aaron Rodgers, when you talk about somebody that gets promoted up through the ranks, not everybody's on board with, you know, his ability or the reason why he got his position. And when some people see him as a general manager, Aaron Rodgers may see him as the same person that he was 13 years ago when Aaron Rodgers came into the league. So it's hard to adjust to that sometimes. I can remember, you know, having to adjust to Mike Pettine being the boss and being the defensive coordinator when I'm used to him being the guy that was up in the booth filming practice, right? So it's a level of respect. And I think Aaron Rodgers probably wanted a different level of respect because he's respecting that he earned his spot and where he came from. And both of them kind of did that, right? And he felt like, hey, man, you could at least gave me the heads up. You know, we should have a better relationship than this because we've been around each other for so long. This isn't an outsider coming in making rules. This is an insider that's coming in that knows the sacrifice, know what I went through dealing with the Brett Favre situation, know what I've done and what I've had to fight against as this organization tries to get back to the promised land, which I've taken them there already once in my career.
Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, but I think the bigger picture, I mean, you're right, but I just think the Packers are very set in their ways as an organization, and they have a history of this. I heard Matt Hasselbeck talk about this on Adam Schefter's podcast. You know, Reggie White finished his career elsewhere. Brett Favre finished his career elsewhere. These are legendary Hall of Fame caliber players, right, with the Packers that the organization decided at some point, you don't fit here anymore. We have a long-term plan. Brian Gutekunst is not going anywhere. He's going to be there longer than Aaron Rodgers is, whether Rodgers likes it or not. And the Packers are going to continue to operate a certain way, whether Rodgers likes it or not. So the question becomes, can he make his peace with that and find a way back?
Go ahead, Bart.
See, none of those players were coming off of an MVP caliber season. That's the difference. Reggie White came there late in his career and finished his career, and it was time for him to move on. Aaron Rodgers is playing at the top of his game, and they brought in his replacement far too early before he was ready to move on. And now we're talking about, okay, let's lock Aaron Rodgers up for good. Well, we're going to lock Aaron Rodgers up for good for the rest of his career. That means that Jordan Love never plays. So then what was the point? That could have been somebody brought in to help me win a championship. But you guys are trying to tell me that I have a shelf life once you move up aggressively to get a quarterback to be my future replacement.
Go ahead, Dan.
They also brought in Brett Favre's replacement before he was ready to go. What was that guy's name again?
Yeah, that was Aaron.
What happened to him?
Aaron Rodgers. You get him how you lose him. Okay. I get that. No, I understand all that, but this is a different situation because now players play a lot longer, and Brett Favre had been flirting with retirement for years and talking about retiring. And every offseason, there was a saga about, well, is Brett Favre going to play? Was he going to retire? And he was holding the organization hostage. This was an opportunity to move forward and play it forward. Aaron Rodgers is 5 years still left in his career. That means Jordan Love never played, so that means that they chose wrong. And then he proved them. He proved himself right by having an MVP caliber season. And now that now they're caught with a mess. And now they're going to have a bad environment in the locker room where they should be a team that we're talking about contending for a Super Bowl. We don't even know if Aaron Rodgers is ever going to take the field, or he's going to be asking us who, where, what, and why on Jeopardy.
Mike T, yes, it's the most unique leverage in the history of this or any sport. Mike T, just to get a final thought from you, the idea, the Packer way, it feels to me, and this is an argument Dan Graziano and I've had a million times, seems to be to always have one eye on the future. And the question is, while that works, they win a lot of games, the question is, can you win in the present if you are always keeping an eye on the future? I think that's what Rodgers might be looking at. He's looking at Brady with a team that has completely mortgaged its future in order to try and maximize its present. Do you think that's a concern? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. You can do both. You can win for today and develop for tomorrow. Look, they got to the championship game last year. They were really close. Now, you could argue they should not have traded up for Jordan Love. He could have been there later in the first round, maybe the second, so absolutely. But I think, ultimately, the Packer way, we can respect that. But the here and the now is, as Bart says, you have a championship-level quarterback who's playing great. You could support him and still draft. Look what Tampa Bay did. They brought everyone back, and they still drafted a quarterback in the second round. They're preparing for their future with Kyle Trask. You can do both, but you have to communicate it, and you have to execute it flawlessly. And you could certainly argue that they could have taken a receiver last year in the first round and come back and still get in a quarterback in the second round.
All right, that's a point well made. Let me leave it there for the moment. We'll do more on this as we continue. In the meantime, it is time now for Get Your Eyes Checked, brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. And here's the moment for you. This is Xander Bogaerts going for a fly ball, and then just take a look at what happens here. We got up, and it's down, and he's down, and everybody's down. Both the ball and Bogaerts end up further away than expected, and believe it or not, a pop-up to short left winds up becoming a triple. That was your Get Your Eyes Checked moment, brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. As we continue, everybody wants more football, but will the new schedule lead some stars to consider the two worst words in sports, load management? That's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and you may have heard word of this week. The Jaguars are expected to sign Tim Tebow to a one-year deal with the team in the coming days to play tight end. This has, of course, been a polarizing topic among former NFL players. Yesterday, former Jaguars receiver Jimmy Smith chimed in.
We need a guy like Tim Tebow, who's a hometown hero, who has love for the city anyway. All right, he's going to be a great support for Trevor Lawrence on whatever capacity that is. Whatever capacity that is, it's going to be a positive rather than a negative.
Jimmy Smith, by the way, is the Jaguars' all-time leader in receptions and receiving yards and in touchdown catches. Bart Scott, I'm trying to read your face. It's not always easy to do. What is your reaction?
I'm trying to understand what the hell Jimmy Smith is talking about. First of all, I want Tim Tebow as close away from my quarterback room as possible. I don't want him saying anything. What can he tell him about playing quarterback in the NFL? He didn't do that at a very high level. Listen, I understand that you talk about everything that Tim Tebow brings to the picture. As somebody that was in that locker room, let me tell you what Tebow does bring. He's going to bring a distraction to a third-string tight end position. He's going to be over there doing press conferences talking about, you know, the look teams and what he's trying to do. Watch him try and be like the look team scout quarterback. He's always eyeing. Listen, we all understand that you have to turn the page. And I say it all the time, athletes die two deaths. They die their natural death, and they die the death that they have the day that they take their uniform off. Tim Tebow's been resuscitated more times than Michael Myers. I appreciate it for what he is and who he is as a person, but you got to let it go, man. You got to let it go. I mean, Mike T is sitting on this set, and he asked him to play tight end, and he didn't want to play tight end, right? And listen, he can say all he want about, oh, Tim Tebow, he looks good. He got all these popcorn muscles. But I'm telling you what, he's going to be dealing with some trained killers, and I think it's a shame that he's coming back and he's taking the opportunity from a young kid that has played the position his entire life and dreamed for an opportunity. Tim, you had your opportunity. You had your opportunity to change positions. It didn't work out. Don't be phoning a friend in. If you want him to help your organization, make him the head at player development, because there's nothing that Tim Tebow can do on a football field that can help your team win.
Okay, so your position is very well staked out, and I appreciate it. I want to make clear for anyone who's not aware, what you're referring to is the 2012 season in which Tebow was on the Jets and you were on the Jets. And people talk about the circus. They talk yes. about the distraction. Can you give us a sense of exactly what that really is like? You're a player on that team. Bart, what was it actually like?
He's just going to be taking the shine, right? He came in there. He never understood that the reason that we brought him in is because we lost Brad Smith. And I don't want to be putting words in Tannenbaum's mouth, but we brought him in because we wanted the Wildcat, because he had beat us the year before. We didn't re-sign Brad Smith. It was an opportunity to bring him in, and he started off on the special teams. But he's sitting up here running through the water like David Hasselhoff. Like, if you watch this is the worst ran route. I got kids in Little League that run out routes better than that. And he ducked. Who the hell ducked? You're getting the ball. He's running through the water like David Hasselhoff when this is Mark Sanchez's team. And like he's out there burping the baby. We're out at practice. Like, bro, you have been holding the ball for 25 seconds. You would be dead by now. Then turns to a scramble drill. We get nothing out of the drill because he's burping the damn baby. He's making somebody gonna damn pull a damn hamstring. And then he's doing a press conference after practice about what he did on the damn punt team. Who cares? Listen, it's not about you, man. And like, sometimes you got to understand that you can't live life in the spotlight forever, man. It dims for everybody. You have to walk away. You took good, meaningful spots for guys in the Mets. Now you come in, you're going to do the same thing here. Listen, Urban Meyer is risking losing his locker room because he's going to be on a team and have Tim Tebow there, and he can't help them in any capacity. And he's going to lose his locker room because they're going to say, I guess it's about who you know and not about what you can do and paying your dues. He ain't paid no dues, man. And that's going to be disrespectful. He's going to be a marked man. He's going to be asking for, you know what, I think I bet. Listen, he's going to, much like Pat White when he got hit on the sideline, he came in the game a football player. He left with a baseball cap and went to baseball. Somebody's going to knock Tim Tebow head off.
I'm very glad I asked. Bart Scott, thank you very much. With that thought in mind, Mike Tannenbaum, is anyone actually going to get the chance to do that? Is, in your opinion, how would you assess the chances that Tim Tebow is actually on the roster, the 53-man roster in September?
If Tim Tebow is on the roster on opening day in Jacksonville, it will eviscerate Urban Meyer's credibility, and let me tell you why. It will send the absolute wrong message to the locker room that we are not basing decisions based on merit for a lot of the reasons that Bart's soliloquy just alluded to, but he's not one of the 53 best players, and if the message is sent that relationships will drive decisions, they will never have a winning team in Jacksonville. Houston will be excited. Tennessee will be excited. The Houston Texans, everyone else in the division will be excited that they're making decisions based on Urban Meyer's relationships, and they'll have no chance to win in Jacksonville. There's no conceivable way that a 34-year-old quarterback who hasn't played in 10 years, who we did try to play in a lot of different positions, is going to be one of the 53 best players. So I think there's no chance he makes this team.
So sitting where I sit, Dan Graziano, that feels to me like the line of delineation, or bringing him in to be one of 90 guys in training camp at whatever actually the purpose of that is in Urban Meyer's mind. That feels to me to be one thing, probably comparatively harmless, at least in my opinion. Others certainly might disagree. Once it goes further down the line than that, I can see it becoming an entirely different thing. Graziano, what do you think?
I think that's right. I think that, you know, a lot of the people I've talked to this week kind of come down there, like saying, look, I mean, it's training camp. There's 90 guys on a training camp roster. You know, it's not the first time someone's been brought in because they had a relationship with the coach or the GM. That happens all the time. It's not the first time, you know, you've seen kind of a gimmicky thing done. Reminds me a little bit of, you know, remember when Garth Brooks was in spring training with the Mets? You know, Billy Crystal, I think, batted in a spring training game for the Yankees. I mean, these kinds of things do happen, and they don't do any real harm. I think the right way to react to this is somewhere between Jimmy Smith and Bart Scott. Like, I mean, I ultimately, I don't think this does any real damage. I understand why you might be annoyed or upset about it because, yes, I mean, you want the thing to be a meritocracy. The fact of the matter is, this happens all the time with coaches and GMs bringing guys with them that played for them or that they knew from a previous stop. You just don't want it to be so obvious. And I think the fact that Tebow's been out so long and this seems so silly to so many people, I think that makes it a little bit too naked in terms of, you know, this being a relationship-driven decision as opposed to a merit one. But Greeny, I think you're right. I think if he goes to training camp and then it sort of fades away, then this whole thing does as well.
I must say, the comparison to Garth Brooks with the Mets.
The last time Tebow was relevant.
The Garth Brooks and Billy Crystal strikes me as just a funny comparison. I don't know why. Maybe I'm the only one. Anyway, as we go on here, the next topic, this is something Teddy Bruschi brought up yesterday, okay? For the first time, and you're well aware of this, for the first time in NFL history, there is a Week 18 this year because there are 17 games. And you look, this is some of the matchups that final week of the season. But yesterday here on this program, Teddy Bruschi offered some very interesting insights onto how teams might handle players with this extra game. Listen.
They look at it, it's like, man, this is a brutal stretch right here, and we've got player X that's not feeling so well, so we got 17 of them now. Do we take him out of this game to make sure he's healthy? Those type of conversations in terms of load management in the NFL, I know this is usually an NBA thing and a basketball thing, but now they can start to enter the conversation possibly.
So that sent a little chill down my spine. Anyone who's ever listened to me on the radio or elsewhere knows I do not favor load management. But I understand what he's saying in the context of, and Bart, as a player, I'm really interested to hear your perspective. We were that started because we were talking about how the Washington football team finishes with five straight division games, right? Critical, their last five games. So he was saying, you know, leading up to that, maybe you load manage a player here or there to make sure they're ready for that stretch. 17 games now, Bart. What do you think?
I mean, we always have periods of the schedule where we look at, okay, you know, do we have an early bye? Do we have a late bye? So this is something that had been happening a lot of times anyway. You know, you may not see it on game day, but you've got the 30 and over club when you hear about guys not practicing, trying to make sure that they can save their legs, especially if you're older, if you have a lot of snaps, they monitor your snaps. But I think what's important for the NFL to do is to make sure that they, you know, make sure that the game day roster is a little bit bigger, make sure that I would expand practice squads, because what you don't have in the NFL is a good farm system. So I think they should have expanded the practice squad so that they can make sure that you have more guys that can step in, because guys are going to, you know, of course get hurt. I mean, everybody's 100%. It's about pain management, not load management. It's about pain management. But the NFL did a great job a couple years ago when teams were tanking or teams were trying to, like, rest players. They made all those games divisional games because they are so much more important, and they usually determine the seeding. So load management has been happening in the NFL for a long time. It's just not as apparent as it was and has been in the NBA.
Understood. But Mike T, let me come to you, because I think I'm just speaking now from a fan's perspective. If guys are not practicing, that doesn't really impact the fan's experience in any meaningful way. If all of a sudden players that we recognize are not playing in games, even though they're not too hurt to play, that I think would be a paradigm shift. Do you think we will see it, Mike T?
Yes, I do. And I thought Teddy's point yesterday is well taken. Context is critical. Let's go to the Washington football team. On December 5th, they play the Raiders, a non-conference game. You have an old quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick. You have Tyler Henke and Kyle Allen behind them. You then finish with five division games. And as Bart alluded to, those are like game and a half. So that's a great example where Ryan Fitzpatrick may be having a good year. Do you sit him against the Raiders and then come back for those last five games? I think Teddy brings up a great point. I think in a 17-game season this year, we will see aging players towards the end of the year possibly miss a non-conference game.
It's very interesting. Dan Graziano, after this came up yesterday, a lot of people talking about it. What were you hearing?
Yeah, I think it's possible that you'll see guys sat down for a game, but I think it's more likely that coaches will try and find that rest sort of within games, right? Maybe guys get pulled out of a blowout game earlier than they might have otherwise in previous years, and you seek to find that load management sort of a series at a time or a quarter at a time rather than sitting down your star for a whole game. Although it did just occur to me when Mike T was talking. 2 years ago, I was covering a game in Nashville in week 16. It was Titans-Saints, and the Titans decided to sit Derrick Henry for the game. He was banged up, but they had looked and said, based on all the tiebreaker situations, this game doesn't matter whether we win or lose it. We still have to win next week, and if we win next week and certain things happen, we'll get in. But this game can't affect that either way. They actually looked at that and made that calculation, made Derrick Henry inactive for that game, and the following game he had about a billion yards, and they did make the playoffs. So that has happened recently, so I wouldn't be surprised if a team makes a calculation like that here or there. The fact that they end with division games is obviously a way to try and combat that, but it doesn't mean it's impossible.
All right, it's a fascinating topic, and we'll continue to look at it. Let me take a short break. We have so much still to do as we get up with you on this Friday. Coming up, he may be the best wide receiver in the league, and is he about to get traded? We've got the destinations next. Let's get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back, and on this Friday, Dan Graziano, let's look back at the week and the three most important things we are keeping an eye on looking forward. Dan.
I'm thinking about three guys that could still get traded between now and the start of the season. One of them is Deshaun Watson. Look, we know there's a lot going on with him that has nothing to do with football, and that probably has to get resolved one way or another before it can happen. But there are definitely teams that are still keeping an eye on this situation in case it gets to a point where Houston decides to move on from him. We've talked about Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. And look, they draft Trey Lance. Eventually, Trey Lance will be the quarterback. The question is, when is eventually? Can Trey Lance have a good enough summer to make the 49ers confident in their ability to trade Jimmy Garoppolo and make Trey Lance the starter? I think that's a key storyline to watch around the 49ers this summer, and don't rule out the possibility that it does happen and Garoppolo ends up somewhere else. And then in Atlanta, wide receiver Julio Jones. This is something that's come up, and I think it's being talked about in league circles more than it is publicly. The Falcons probably end up trading Julio Jones. They have to wait till after June 1st to do it for cap reasons, but his contract number is bigger than they want it to be right now. They feel like they may have drafted his replacement in Kyle Pitts, even though, yes, he's a tight end. And I think it's possible they move on. They're trying to be delicate and careful with this because Julio Jones is a really important player to that city and that fan base. And you have a new GM and a new coach just coming in. So if your first move is to trade a beloved player, you better get it right. But I would not be surprised at all if Julio Jones is playing somewhere else in 2021.
Now, we always read into these things. Like he wasn't pictured when they put out like their schedule release, and they didn't have a picture of him in there with a lot of the other players. So we always make a big deal of that stuff, and it generally tends to be the right thing to have done. And you in your notes, Dan, I'll let you take it first here as we consider where Julio may wind up. I saw in your notes one of the possibilities as you were sort of putting some contract situations together.
Oh, I think San Francisco is a place to watch if Julio Jones gets traded. Look, Kyle Shanahan, the head coach in San Francisco, is a former Falcons offensive coordinator. He has a young receiver room. He may end up having a young starting quarterback. He knows how important Julio Jones can be to an offense. And I would not be surprised, especially if they move Garoppolo and get the cap relief they'd get from that. Julio Jones would fit very, very nicely under their salary cap in a situation like that.
All right, I'm totally with you. Not enough conversation about this being had. Bart Scott, where are you looking for Julio?
Look, Greeny, I sat on your set about 6 months ago, and I was beating the table saying the Baltimore Ravens needed to upgrade their receiving room, and what better person than Julio Jones? He fits everything that embodies a Baltimore Raven. He's from Alabama, which you know Ozzie Newsome always wants to grab as many people from Alabama as he can, but also size, speed, weight. He's a guy that can set the edge. He's a guy that can be physical enough and blocking on the edges. Could you imagine that, right? Before they give Lamar Jackson that big extension that him and Mayfield and Josh Allen are in line for, you can take one big swing at a guy like Julio Jones that changes the dynamic. It will create a seismic shift in the AFC.
Quickly, and I'm with you, and obviously Julio Jones is a whole other level of player, but they have added Sammy Watkins, Rashad Bateman, and Tylan Wallace in the draft. In your mind, they still need another receiver?
Well, you can't count on Sammy Watkins. He got bad feet, man. He ain't never gelling. You know, you got to have somebody. You got to have an insurance policy for him. And, you know, Bateman may not be ready yet. You know, so now you bring in Julio Jones. He takes the top off the defense. And it just creates more running lanes for Lamar Jackson, that running game. And play action would be crazy.
Mike T, give me a spot.
You want a seismic shift? It puts a ribbon on an unbelievable offseason. The New England Patriots, Nick Saban, Bill Belichick. Julio Jones is one of Nick Saban's most favorite players. They signed Nelson Aguilar. They signed Kendrick Bourne. But the Patriots will be in the playoff hunt. This could possibly put them over the top in winning the division. And after everything they've done, this punctuates their offseason. And that's a seismic shift, Bart, in terms of what's going to happen in the AFC.
That certainly would be interesting. Look, if Julio Jones winds up in one of those places,
the Ravens are a better team, Mike T.
It really could wind up being something that makes a big difference. Let's leave that for a second, guys, because I want to get you to this next thing. We're all going to enjoy this. There's nothing funnier than Peyton Manning. Quite honestly, the man is just funny. So Peyton Manning was having some fun with the Broncos schedule release, and I just want you to watch this because the man is legitimately funny.
Oh, okay. You just sent over the Broncos 2021 schedule? Okay, I'll pull it up right now. All right, I beat them, destroyed them, beat them. Yeah, this looks great. I'm gonna go print it right now. Thanks.
So that's Peyton Manning going over all the people that he beat. And Bart Scott, you know, still has all of those memories of all those battles you had against Peyton. But let me go to Dan Graziano first on this thought. Once upon a time, John Elway, who has had real trouble drafting quarterbacks, went out and sort of maybe spoke a language that Peyton Manning understands, that only the great quarterbacks understand. He brought Peyton to Denver, and that obviously worked. A lot of people are looking at that and wondering if he's going to do the same thing with Aaron Rodgers here. That's the most common rumor or whatever it is you hear out there. How would you assess the possibilities right now, Graziano, that Aaron Rodgers winds up in Denver?
Yeah, I don't think you can rule it out. I mean, Denver's got Drew Locke and they've got Teddy Bridgewater. You wouldn't feel bad about replacing either or both of those guys with someone of Aaron Rodgers' caliber. So if it gets to the point where the Packers are taking the calls and looking at trading him, then yeah, absolutely. I think that's probably, you're right. I think that's the most commonly brought up destination when you talk to people around the league about where Aaron Rodgers might land. Obviously, the question becomes, what do you have to give up for him? Denver has a lot of good young players on rookie contracts that might be enticing to the Packers in a potential deal. So if and when it gets to that point, which the Packers at this point insist that it hasn't, yes, I would keep an eye on Denver.
Mike T, what do you think?
I think it's tailor-made for him because if Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver, they have good young skill players like Noah Fant, Jerry Jeudy. They have an improved left tackle in Garrett Bowles. So if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I want to go to a place where I can be successful, much the way we saw with Tom Brady and Tampa last year. I think it really works. And then on the other end, hey, if I could get 3-1s in Drew Locke, that's a pretty good start if I'm Green Bay. So I think this is a real win-win, and I think these two teams match up really well.
What do you think, Bart Scott?
I mean, I think this would be a home run. I think this would be a move of the offseason. You know, John Elway, we talk about him drafting guys like Paxton Lynch. He just can't figure it out, man. So take a refurbished quarterback that you know is proven, and he'll be the player that can take it over the top. I don't know how many of those young players he would lose, but listen, Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback that Mike T always says is a force multiplier. He can do more with less, and they have enough young talent, even if they lose some, that Aaron Rodgers still can elevate these guys. You know, and when you're an aging quarterback, you want to go somewhere with a team and an organization that has experience in catering to an older quarterback, a great phenom, a Hall of Fame quarterback that you're going to have to make concessions for. You're going to have to try and tailor fit the offense to fit his skill set and be able to make a shift mid-season, right, or mid-offseason to try and do things that Aaron Rodgers does well, much like Peyton Manning had to do with Kubiak.
You know, if you take a look at where the Broncos are right this minute, and sort of juxtapose it with where the Buccaneers were right before Tom Brady wound up there, there are a lot of similarities. Now, the big difference here, of course, is that Brady was a free agent. Tampa didn't have to give up anything to get him. So what does Denver have to gut in order to get the legendary quarterback? We will wait and see. Meanwhile, a reminder that this is the WNBA's 25th season. And tomorrow on ABC and the ESPN app, tip-off weekend continues with a doubleheader highlighted by MVPs. One Eastern, Candace Parker makes her debut with Chicago. Then you'll see Breanna Stewart and the defending champion Seattle Storm in action in a rematch of last year's finals against the Las Vegas Aces. All the action coming your way tomorrow on ABC. Coming up, you know it's a big game when even your dad is talking smack. We got a live report from Tampa as the champs are thinking about visiting Tommy's former team. That's next.